Do we have a good, 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 good God? Yeah, and when his presence comes and he starts moving in people's lives, and this good God who if there was just you, an individual on this world, he would have died, and he would have for your sins and come to earth for you. And you all know that, don't you? Yeah, but the grace of God and the kindness of God. I'm going to read a really long passage of scripture this morning. Some of you actually have read it in the growth groups. Yeah, and it's Acts chapter 15. I'm not going to read it. Go check it out when you get home. But it's good, and I will give you the nuts and the bolts of it. But I just want to tell you the good news in this passage and why it's good news. It's a right long passage, and basically what happens is that the Paul and Barnabas have been wandering around the world, preaching, planting churches, doing incredible things, doing signs, wonders, and they get back to their base camp at Antioch, a place called, in fact, have we got a map? Where is the map? This is there. So they've gone all the way around there, and they've got to remember, they've done it by foot and boat. There were no cars in those days. And they get back to Antioch, which was the first Gentile church, really. It was the first church where non-Jews had been included into as followers of Jesus. And basically what happens is they stay there. The scripture says they stay there a long time. Anyway, when they're there, what happens is some dudes from the Jerusalem church who are Jewish come and they say, all these guys who are Gentiles, who are part of children of God, part of God's children, all these people are not Christians. They are not Christians because they have to be circumcised and they have to follow the Jewish law. So, if I came to you and told you now, you, Paul, are not a Christian unless you are circumcised. Do we all know what circumcision is? Yeah. So you are not a Christian. He's looking a bit sad. I think all the blokes particularly would look a bit sad. So that is what happens. Okay, so this is what that passage is all about. And there is a massive, obviously Paul and Barnabas don't agree with that. They say, they are Christians. They are saved. Their salvation is true, even though they are circumcised. And they are a massive, massive kickoff in the Antioch church. They're all falling out because they disagree vehemently, it says the scripture, vehemently. Yeah? So then they are trot off to Jerusalem to get it all sorted out with the apostles. And they have a big meeting and a letter is sent. Why do we care? Why do we care? So we've had all the exciting things that have happened in the book of Acts. So people have been healed, churches have been planted, all sorts of incredible things, the Holy Spirit, they've been arrested, they've escaped from jail, they've had prayer meetings, all the things that we've talked to about previously. And then we get to chapter 15 and it's almost like an admin passage. It's like a load of admin. Yeah? It's dull. Who's read it this week? Was it that exciting? No, it wasn't the most exciting. Wasn't the most exciting passage, was it at all? After all the signs and the wonders and all these things that happened. But I want to say to you this morning that chapter 15 is one of the most important passages in Acts. Because it is good news. And there is no good news without this passage. You all look at me really blank, really boring. You still say, Stephen, it's really boring. Really boring. Why is it good news? Why is it good news? Because if you had to be circumcised, if you had to follow the Jewish law, you would not be saved by grace. You would not be saved by grace. If you had to follow rules and regulations, Christianity would be exactly the same as every other religion: Islam, Buddhism, Sikhism, all the religions, Scientology, whatever you want to call it. It would be exactly the same, and there would be no good news. Why? Because you would have saved yourself. You would have saved yourselves by your works, by following laws, by following rules, by following regulations. You would have earned your place in heaven. And you can't earn your place in heaven by following rules and regulations, because you need to be perfect. Because God is perfect, and you need to be holy like God is holy. And if you've earned your way into heaven by following rules and regulations, stop it. Stop it. And if you have earned your way into heaven by following rules and regulations, there is no good news. There is no good news. There are no rules. I remember sat at a growth group, and I had a wonderful friend who took us through the book of Romans, and he blew my mind by telling me, in Christianity, there are no rules. Do you believe me? Yes. There are no rules. Some of you are going to freak out. There's more to it than that. But there are no rules. Because if there were rules that you save yourself, there would be no good news. You are free. Free. From earning your salvation. Watch out for guys who come into churches and tell you that you are not saved unless you follow the rules. People might say, you are not saved unless you've been baptized. Baptism is great. It's a command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do it. If you haven't, do it. If you're a child of God, do it. But you're not saved by being baptized. Some people say, unless you follow all the Ten Commandments to the rule, you are not saved. Some people will say, unless you follow this very specific doctrine that our church follows, you are not saved. And we are the only people who are saved because we follow this doctrine and these rules. There are no rules. You are free from rules. Your salvation is by grace through faith. Do you believe me? I'm teaching you to suck eggs, but you are free, you are saved by grace through faith. And that is good news. And that is what this passage is all about. You are saved by grace through faith. Yeah? I want to tell you that God loves you wherever you are, whatever you've done, and you are saved by his grace. Nothing that you have done, you are saved by his grace, by his blood. He doesn't want to leave you in sin. He doesn't want to leave you with your life messed up. He wants you to follow the law. He does. And I'll get to that and explain later. But you are free. You are saved by grace. Bring up the next few slides. I want to see how clever you guys are. That's Antioch. It's a real place. Go to the next few. Next one. Go on. Go, go on. This dude. Oh, he's quite ugly, actually, isn't he? So who can tell me who this dude is? Martin Luther. And tell me about Martin Luther. He was a Protestant. He was eventually. He started off a Catholic. But apart from he was a Protestant... Anybody else tell me about Martin Luther? The Catholic faith. Indulgences. Yeah, you're kind of right. Yeah, you listened at school. That was good. Well done, Gina. Brownie points. But actually, Martin Luther, what brought him to that point? Martin Luther was a monk. Yeah, he was an Augustine monk. And what he did, he tried to save himself through his own works. So every day he tried he used to whip himself and he tried to eradicate himself from the power of sin, and he tried to earn his way into God's affection. And he nearly killed himself. In fact, the head of the monks who looked after him of his order said, Martin Luther, you need to chill out or else you're going to kill yourself. He just did not feel that he was worthy of being saved. And then he found a passage in Romans. Yeah, the righteous are saved by faith, by grace. And that was the real turning point for Martin Luther. He couldn't earn his way into salvation. He realized the good news was he was saved by God's grace through his trust in Jesus Christ. And boom, you have the Protestant Reformation. Next slide. Who could tell me who these dudes are? Well, yes, they are. So on this side, we've got Mr. Charles Wesley. And this side is a bit cross-eyed, isn't it? We've got George Whitefield. Yeah? But do you know these guys' stories? No? What you can tell me? So we're in a Methodist church. There's a reason that they're called Methodists. Yeah? Charles Wesley. Methodist actually isn't a great term. Because initially, John Wesley tried to save himself through works. And they had a method. And the method was they would earn their salvation by feeding the poor one day. And then the next day they would pray. And then the next day they would fast. And then the next day they would do this. Then the next day they would do this. It is all good stuff. But they were earning their salvation, and they didn't believe that God loved them unless they did these things. And then John Wesley realized that he was saved by grace through faith. Yeah, and he got a warm feeling when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he changed the United Kingdom. It was the same thing as Martin Luther. George Whitefield tried to fast so much that he nearly killed himself. He nearly killed himself by fasting for like 3 weeks or something like that. Fasting is a great thing. If you want to fast, great. But he was trying to earn his salvation and his favour with God through what he did. And he got angry at God. And actually, John Wesley, right in his writing, got angry with God. And Martin Luther got angry at God. God was this horrible tyrant who he had to earn his salvation. And then they realized that they were saved by grace through faith. And that is what this passage is all about. Because if you have to follow the law, the Jewish law, and be circumcised, you are saved by your own works, not by the grace of God. Are you with me? I'm probably teaching you to suck eggs. But you are saved by grace through faith. And is that not good news? That is good, good news. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, God saved you by his grace, which is giving you good things that you don't deserve. When you believed, and you can't take credit for this, it is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we've done, so nobody can boast about. You have nothing to boast about in your salvation. For we are God's masterpiece, so we can do the good things that God has planned for us. I want you to go into the world and do as many good things as you possibly can for the kingdom of God. Yeah, all these things, baptism, all the fasting, all these things are good. But I don't want you to do them, and God doesn't want you to do them to earn favor with God. He wants you to do them to say thank you as a worship offering to him, to this God who has given you good, good news. He's given you his grace, his grace. If you are bound by rules, God wants you to set you free and be free indeed. There's a problem. At the end of the letter, it says, so James sends a letter to the guys, Anton. He says, you must abstain from eating food offered to idols, from consuming blood or the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. Hold on, that sounds like they have to follow the Jewish law. So that's just blown everything that I've just said out of the water. Yeah? It's a bit of a problem. But why? Why have they put that? If you study it, most of the guys in the church at that time were Jewish. Yeah? And if people were eating and meat that had been killed in the wrong way or whatever, anything like that, the church could not have communed. Yeah? So what James is saying you are free, but don't use your freedom to insult and destroy other people's faith. So you are free, but don't abuse that freedom. Paul deals with it over and over in his letters. I'm going to read you. So they sent him a letter about eating, a question about eating food in front of idols. Sacrifice to idols. And this is what he says, but you must be careful so that your freedom does not cause others with a weaker conscience to stumble. You are free, but you need to be conscious of others. For if others see you eating with your superior knowledge, eating in the temple of an idol, won't they be encouraged to violate their conscience by eating food that's been offered to idols? So because your superior knowledge, a weak believer for whom Christ has died will be destroyed. You are free, but you need to use that freedom for the glory of God. So if what I eat causes another believer to sin, I will never eat meat again as long as I live, for I don't want to cause another believer to stumble. God wants us to use our freedom to the glory of God. And he's also, Paul is saying, we need to be to the default of our weaker members. Yeah? You are free, but use that freedom for the glory of God. Spirit and law. Spirit and law. I'm going to read your story. Put the next picture on for me, Jeff. Can anybody tell me what that is? It's the MP's duck house. Yeah, it's the MP's duck house. Yeah, who remembers the MP's duck house? Yeah? The MP's duck house. So I'm going to read you an article from the Guardian, okay? And there's law and the spirit, okay? So Tory MP Sir Peter Vickers said today he felt ashamed and humiliated over his expense claims for an island to house the ducks in the pond. This is my favourite bit. This is great. He described his decision to include the feature in his taxpayers-funded second home claim as ridiculous and a grave error of judgment. This is my favourite bit. The duck never liked it anyway. How did he know that the duck never liked it anyway? Oh dear. And it was no longer being used, he added. So the duck had obviously decided not to do it. The veteran MP was forced to announce he was standing down at the next election after the details of the claim were published this week. Among them were £30,000 towards gardening at his home, including £500 for manure and £1,645 for a floating duck island. Brilliant. When it emerged earlier this week, Tory sources indicated that he would repay the five-figure sum after his claims were ruled excessive by an internal Conservative scrutiny party. He said today that the prospect of any repayment would be considered in due course. Right, my question is, did the MP break the law? No. Did the MP break the law? No, he didn't. He didn't actually break the law. He didn't break any rules at all. Yeah? Did he follow the spirit of the law? No, he didn't. Because what is the spirit of the law? The spirit of the law is to defend taxpayers' money and make sure that it's used correctly. Yeah? Did he follow the spirit of the law? No, he didn't. Yeah? The Pharisees, did they mainly follow the law?
Yes.
Did they follow the spirit of the law? What was the spirit of the law? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and love your neighbour as yourself. Did they follow the spirit of the law? No, they didn't. I need two volunteers. In fact, three volunteers. I'll go for Justin, we'll go for Jeffrey, and we'll go for Daniel. And you've been wondering what these things are here. It's all right, I've not picked on you today, Mr. B. So, who's got a good sense of balance? Go on, Justin. You look like you could be a tightrope walker. Right. So I need you to hold up one, stand either side of him. So why have I told you about all this and what application? So what? Why do we care? Why do we care? Okay, now the Christian walk, we need to live between law and license. Yeah? We need to live between law and license. So, it's so easy for Christians to start following rules, adding rules and regulations to get to Christ Jesus and for our salvation and our life. Yeah? And Justin will actually turn over if he's a tightrope and he will fall over and you end up into heresy and craziness, don't you? But actually, the law is really important. God has given the law because it is the best way to live. Not the Jewish law, but the moral law. The Ten Commandments. Yeah? So important. But we're free, you've just told us. Free from the law. We're into license. And license is, I do whatever I want. Well, actually, God said that, but it doesn't actually... We don't need to do that. We don't need to do that. Let's rip out that bit. And Justin, if he's in a tightrope walker, he falls over this way. Yeah? And it's so, so complicated. So how does he stay balanced? How do we, on our Christian walk, stay balanced? It's the same punchline from every single Acts preach. The Holy Spirit. The spirit of love. The spirit of kindness. Of grace and mercy. We need to be guided by the Holy Spirit to walk the tightrope between law and grace. And that is the Holy Spirit. So you are saved by grace, by faith. And that way, because you have your Holy Spirit and you have your salvation, as thank you, you will adhere to God's law. If that MP had the right spirit, and he really, really wanted to protect public funds, he wouldn't have bought a Duck Island, would he? Yeah? The spirit is the important thing. Thank you, chaps. Thank you. Yeah? A bit of an admin passage, but absolutely fundamentally, you are saved by grace through faith for the good works that God has for you. Yeah? You are free from rules and regulations, but do not use that freedom. Use it for the glory of God. Use it for the glory of God. How do you stand? How do you walk the balance between the Spirit and grace and the law? You need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. Are you cold enough now? I want to pray for more of God's Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, it's been a very technical passage that we've gone through, okay? But have you enjoyed Acts? Would you like to carry on with Acts? Remember, you are saved by grace through faith. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. You are free, free indeed, saved by grace. Amen. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you, our faith, you are not a God that gives us lots and lots and lots of rules and regulations, that we save ourselves bit by bit through adhering to rules, like all the other religions, Lord, but you are a God that has given us good news, that we are free and free indeed by the Spirit. You have freed us, Lord, by grace. Because you are good, Lord, fill us more with your Spirit that we are able to walk this line between license and the law, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we want to obey you and be faithful and do what you tell us, not because we have to, but because we want to, because we love you, because we want to worship and glorify us. Lord, help us glorify you through our freedom. And we just thank you for this morning, and we give you all glory and all grace. Amen.